to split a rock. How does God feel about me then? When I fail as a husband, when I fail as a wife, when I fail as a child, when I fail as a pastor, when I fail as a husband, when I fail as a wife, how does God feel about me then? Am I indebted to God to make sure that I never make one simple mistake? Because like a cosmic policeman, if I do anything wrong, he's going to zap me. And many of us live in that way. We see God as some distant individual out there who is looking over the corridors of heaven to make sure that if he ever slips. Now, I don't like to refer to movies too often from the pulpit. But one movie that, not movie, a television show that used to drive me up a wall. Now, I didn't sit and watch it, I want you to know. I just heard parts of it, okay? It's the television program Maud. She used to have a line in there. This is why, the reason I didn't watch it. She used to have a line in there, God is going to get you for that. God is going to get you for that. And many Christians live with that kind of a sentence over their lives. God is going to get you for that. Is God up there in heaven just getting a pleasure out of making life miserable for you and me? We live sometimes like that. Our text has something different to say this morning, and I want to speak with you briefly on the origin of grace. The origin of grace. And for us to get into the origin of grace, we've got to ask ourselves, just what is grace? Grace, my friends, simply means this. It is showing favor to someone who doesn't deserve it. Grace is showing favor to someone who doesn't deserve it. Grace is not something you and I merit. It isn't something that God actually decides to do because you and I decide to do something. The person who exercises grace is moved by his or her own motive for doing what he's doing. The difference between the grace of God and the grace of man or woman is this. God never acts selfishly. God never acts in order that you might have a sense of, oh, now I have to be good. You know, like the parents who say, after all I've done for you. That's not grace. One of the texts that some people like and some people don't like is Luke chapter 15. Because in Luke chapter 15, the son who went out and did such a terrible job of his life came home and he had a party. The son who didn't go, who stayed home and did everything the father wanted, he didn't have a party. Well, he could have had one. But he didn't want one. Because he believed that life consisted of doing the very best I can to earn the very best from God. And that was not true. If God had to respond to you or to me because of the best we can do, my friend, some of us would be here and some of us would not. What is the origin of grace? What's the definition of grace? It is God moving to show kindness to you and to me with absolutely no secret motivation apart from his own love. He isn't doing it because he's going to get some kind of a secret pleasure out of it. He isn't doing it because if I do it, they're going to love me. No, he's doing it out of the kindness of his own heart. He's doing it for no other reason than the fact that he loves you, that he loves me. Literally, the word in Hebrew, an old Hebrew word, for grace means to stoop or to bend over. How many of you have ever seen Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth stooping? No. She's supposed to keep a certain kind of posture in public. She's supposed to keep herself aloof in public. Well, it's changing now, but you know. The one time was a child's wedding, or one of the son's wedding, when I saw just a glimpse of Her Majesty running. That doesn't happen all the time. That was a pleasure to see. When God acts, he acts, my friends, out of a motive that is wholly his. He does it not so he can receive something. He does it because he wants to do it. He chooses to do it. Grace, that's what it is. Let me suggest to you that we don't discover grace. Grace is not something you and I discover. Grace is something that God reveals. The grace of God has appeared. No Old Testament figure, no New Testament disciple was ever walking one day and said, Eureka, I have discovered grace. No. Do you know that Jesus never used the word grace in the New Testament? He never used it once, but everything he did spoke of grace. Every word he spoke came from the grace of God. You and I think in terms of how people talk. That person speaks so graciously. That person walks so graciously. That person is so gracious to others. Let me suggest to you that in the life of Christ, this is what you saw all the time. In fact, Mark says he did all things with grace. When Jesus saw someone, before he even thought, if you please, of what that person might be feeling or thinking, the scripture says he had compassion. He feels out of himself for those who have needs. He reaches out, my friends, not because someone can reach to him. He reaches out because it is the nature of grace to reach to those who do not deserve what they're about to get. John Hamilton, who was once my associate here, tells the story. Blame him, okay? You can write him. I'll give you his address afterwards. John said, this one lady went to get her picture taken. John Hamilton said it. This lady went to get her picture taken. And she looked at her picture. And she said to the photographer, this did not do justice to me. And he said, lady, it's not justice, it's mercy. Friends, if God gave you what you deserve, if he gave me what we deserve, none of us would be here. None of us would be able to lift our heads and our hands to heaven and say, our Father, this was an act that he gave you and me the privilege to experience. And it is all by his grace. Nothing in my hands I bring, says the writer. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress. Weary come to you for rest. So the discovery of grace is a misnomer. We don't discover grace. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 6, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. It is not that he discovered. Let me demonstrate it for you. Noah was among those who were falling. And in the process of falling, there were some loving hands out there to respond to Noah. And he discovered, or he actually experienced grace, because God did not let him fall. It is not that he discovered it by intuition. It is that he experienced it when God moved in his direction. And so it is with you and with me. Let us look at the operation of grace. The origin, it is God. Not angels, not seraphim. No creature in heaven has grace in and of themselves. Grace comes wholly from God. He is the source of all grace. How then do we know this? How do I know that this God of whom I am speaking is a gracious God? In Exodus chapter 34, read to us this morning, God revealed to Moses that he was a gracious God. He is willing to forgive. He's willing to deal with any in tenderness. Any who call upon him in truth, he is there. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But how do we know this? Does heaven tell us that God is a gracious God? No, friends, the heaven really doesn't tell us that. Because sometimes when you look at the heavens, it can be ugly. Last evening it was. Does nature tell us that God is gracious? No. It was Adolf Hitler who said, if nature can treat man that way, then I can also treat man that way. Nature doesn't tell us that God is gracious. It tells us that God is. It tells us of his existence. But nature doesn't tell us what God is like. Unless God does something to show us how gracious he is, we are left with an eternal question as to what kind of a God it is in whose world we live. Then how do we know it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul tells us these words, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we might be made the riches of God in him." The grace of God was revealed to us in the coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to my friends, this verse you and I know, we have known it from the time we were children. Listen to it. You will begin to repeat it as soon as I begin to say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, Jesus Christ came to show us what God is like. And he came to display grace from an abstract something yonder in eternity into the human experience where we are. So that one day, a lady was caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. And the self-righteous Pharisees, the self-confident men, the religious elite, who had never experienced grace for themselves, said this: "This is what the law says. Whoever is found committing adultery should be stoned to death." You want to see their hypocrisy? Their hypocrisy is that they didn't bring the man. Because the text doesn't say only the woman should be stoned. Both should be stoned if you're going to be consistent. But they only brought the woman. And they stood before Jesus and said, "Now what do you say about this? This woman was caught and the law says..." Oh, friends, you know, you and I love the law to protect us, don't we? But we don't love the law to condemn us. The law shows us what is wrong. The law shows us what we deserve. The law says when you break it, you should pay the consequence of it. And they were trying to trap Jesus. What do you say? If he said, "Let her go," then they will say to him, he's not living according to Moses' law. If he said, "Stone her," then he's taking the law into his own hands. So they were trying to trap him. Their motives were not real or clean. And Jesus, with a masterstroke of wisdom and grace, by the way, said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." I love the description of the text. And from the youngest, from the oldest to the youngest, no one could pick up a stone. You know why, friends? Because every human being is guilty before God. And the only way we can be rescued from our guilt is for God to come into our world and show us how gracious he is. He's a God who forgives. He's a God who has compassion. He's a God who feels for those who fall. And he comes not so much to condemn us, for Jesus Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the coming of Jesus Christ, we see the operation of God's grace. In the cross of Jesus Christ, we see the pinnacle of God's grace. For God so loved the world that he gave. Not simply sending, but allowing to die. The cross of Jesus Christ is where we see grace demonstrated in no other way. Please allow me, listen as I read these words that are familiar to you. If they are, ask God to make them fresh to you. If they're not, ask God to make them meaningful to you. Here is grace. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he had borne our griefs. He himself bore and carried our sorrows. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The price of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ on the cross, my friends, is the highest form. If I want to know how much God loves me, don't look at nature, look at the cross. For nature can never tell us. Not even words can tell us. Only deeds can. And God showed us in the giving of his Son. It is that, my friends, it is that grace that opens the road to you and to me. First of all, when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, grace operates in our lives to relieve us of our guilt. And then, as we continue to walk in Christ, as we continue to obey him, to stay in his word, to allow that word to work in our hearts, let me tell you what begins to happen. We begin to walk and live and demonstrate grace one to another. And that's my concern for the next 5 or 6 weeks, to show grace in operation. To show how grace operates in the hearts of... You have said it, have you not? Someone lays a heavy burden upon you. And the first thing you say, I am only human, you know. Ah, isn't that true? I am only human. But my friends, the Spirit of God has come to live in mere human beings to give them the ability to live beyond themselves, so that Paul can say to you and to me, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your wonderful and marvelous grace. May the Holy Spirit make this word real to every heart this morning. That grace is something that God does for sinners. Grace is something that God works in saints. Whether saint or sinners, grace is what we need. That is the actions and the activity and the power of God to live beyond ourselves to the glory of God. We pray that you will open our understanding to this truth in Jesus' name. Amen.